You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts Saturday edition. It's championship weekend in the NFL. One of the most anticipated weekends of the entire sports year, despite the fact that we just got underway in 2018. And we're excited to preview those games, talk about a lot of information that's gone around regarding these games and all around the NFL over the course of the last week. Football season slowly coming to a close, but there's a lot of information that we need to get out to you folks playing in fantasy playoff leagues and really just interested in the games overall. First, I want to welcome in my co-host Corey Parson and Scott Engel. Scott, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's been a fun, successful week. It's been a fun, successful month, winning the GST and getting nominated for my first ever FSWA baseball award yesterday. So, I'm enjoying life right now.
Very nice. We will actually, we'll talk a little bit about that later in the hour. Roto Experts and Daily Roto got a ton of nominations, so we'll go over who is up for some awards at the beginning of the week, this upcoming week in Los Angeles, as they hand out those awards and bring in Corey Parson as well. Corey, how are you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Mike? What's going on, Scott? Feeling pretty good. Obviously, championship weekend. We're not going to get the rematch that we so desperately wanted between the Patriots and the Steelers, but still got some good football because the Jacksonville Jaguars seem like they're ready to play. They crashed the party.
They did, and they did it in impressive fashion, beating my Pittsburgh Steelers last week. We're going to talk a little bit about the Steelers later this hour because obviously a lot has gone on this week. Stories coming up about Le'Veon Bell, about discontent with Todd Haley. We'll save that for a little bit later in this hour. But as you said, the Jags crashed the party. We didn't expect a Blake Bortles-Tom Brady matchup. We'll obviously have to spend on Tom Brady's injury to his hand, which has provided a lot of speculation with very little clarity. And on the NFC side of things, the Nick Foles-Case Keenum matchup isn't necessarily what people expected, but we can say that those two teams, the Vikings and Eagles, Scott, have really been the best two teams in the NFC all year, regardless of who's playing quarterback.
Yeah, I would say pretty much so. The Eagles were, I don't know if I agree with the part of regardless who's playing quarterback, because the Eagles are really here for most everything they accomplished when Carson Wentz was in the lineup. And last week, I think the defense, was a big part of why they advanced. So, but the Vikings, I think they've certainly been the best team in the NFC, and I'm going to say they've had the best defense in the league all year.
Corey, 18 red zone targets for Julio Jones this year, one touchdown.
Yep, that's got to change.
It reared its ugly head in that game, obviously, last week. But kudos to the Eagles, much to your dismay as the resident Cowboys
fan. Yes. Didn't want to see the Philadelphia Eagles there. Hopefully they'll be gone by 24 hours.
He's not letting up. He's not taking his foot off the gas pedal until they're eliminated. It's Corey, Mike, and Scott. We'll be back after this on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, championship weekend. And if you want to reach out to us today, we'll have some time to chat. If you guys just want to talk and give your predictions on today's games, we'll do that a little bit later. We'll talk about the games specifically, start breaking those down in the second hour. Going to get through some NFL news and some other items before we get there. But if you want to reach out to us today on Twitter, It'll be at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott Engel is at Scott E. Roto X. That's EX at the end. And then Corey Parson is at The Fantasy Exec, EXEC. And give us a call at 844-843-6879. So we're going to put some polls up today. See if you think the Pats are going to cover, if the Jags can win it outright, Eagles, Vikings, all that kind of good stuff. Those polls will be up, and we'll put a Steelers poll up too, because obviously they got some big decisions to make. But first, talking a little bit about the injuries for this weekend's games. There's not too much, thankfully, to talk about, but one of the ones that there we are to talk about has consumed a lot of news over the course of the last couple of days. As we know, Tom Brady's hand on Wednesday, it was allegedly gushing blood on the field. Yeah, he allegedly hit something. They obviously been really tight-lipped about it. Both Brady and Belichick. Brady almost hostile with reporters, I would say, during his line of questioning. I can understand him wanting to keep it private, but he then missed the Thursday practice. Then Friday, he was wearing these red gloves, which he got many questions about. Danny Amendola later got questions, seemed to confirm that Brady actually did throw the ball. So I'm going to pass it to you first, Scott. I don't know if we can make anything of this because we don't know the severity of the injury, but clearly there is something to this.
There is something to this. You know, you have to wonder how much of this is gamesmanship on the Patriots' part, you know, using something like this to keep the opponent off balance. It sounds to me, though, after, you know, doing a lot of research on the subject and reading a lot of articles, good breakdown on ESPN about the injury, too. Of course, what Dr. A says is paramount. I think, you know, this is a kind of thing where you almost take it like Antonio Brown's calf in a way that, you know, this is a significant injury, but he's going to play through it and he could still probably do well. And like Corey says, when guys like this are active, they very likely will produce.
Corey, your thoughts? You backing up what Scott says?
Yeah. If he's active, obviously, and he should be active, I think it would take a lot to keep Tom Brady off the field this weekend. I don't like how coy they're being with this. They're not saying anything. I think the NFL needs to crack down on this. They're almost making a mockery of the media and the job they have to do when it comes to covering this team, especially when it comes to injury situations. So I think there's more to it than meets the eye with this one right here. But I think the narrative is that the Patriots are playing with people and Tom Brady's fine, they'll be fine, yada, yada, yada. I don't believe that to be the case myself personally.
You don't think he's fine? So you think this is you think he could be hurting come tomorrow?
I think he's. I do think he's hurting. I think he's. I think he plays through it, but I do think he's hurting. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars need to focus in on that.
Yeah, look, he's got a couple of stitches in his hand. I think at the very least, his hand's going to be pretty sore. Right? Anytime you get stitches, something like that, it's going to be pretty sore. There's always the risk of it opening back up, and then it becomes kind of a mess on the field. It's not going to preclude him from playing in any way, assuming that it's just the stitches. He could wear the glove on it. He may or may not be comfortable with it, but I would imagine he's going to want to protect it, not just from the cold, but obviously any contact that might come his way. I do agree, but I've always thought, as you have thought, Corey, they make a mockery of this whole situation, assuming this is gamesmanship on some part where it's just a minor cut and it isn't a big deal, and they're being coy and making it seem that there's more to it when there isn't. I don't know what the NFL can do, but I tend to agree with you. I think they're making a mockery of the whole situation, making a mockery of the Jags. But the Jags have to approach it as if, and Marone said the right things, that he is 100% healthy and he's going to play lights out. That's just how they have to approach it. They can't adjust what they're going to do because of this injury, correct?
No, they can't. They can't plan for Brian Hoyer. They can't do that. They can't be like, okay, we got to go out there and play this team as if Brian Hoyer is going to be the quarterback. If you're the opponent, you have to be expecting a healthy Tom Brady, ready to do what Tom Brady does. So Jacksonville Jaguars, it makes them no difference, makes them no never mind. If they get out there and he is ailing, that's a bonus for them. But as far as right now, they got to look at it like Tom Brady's playing that 100%.
Yeah, and the other injury, and we can talk about Brady's hand later, certainly in the second hour when we preview the games, but another injury that comes to light, Scott, is that Rex Burkhead, who hasn't played in over a month, is going to be back
on the field for the Patriots. It seems like he injects back into the lineup. So it could shift responsibilities between James White and Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead, making it a three-headed monster, if you want to count Brandon Bolden, a four-headed monster, but Rex Burkhead back in.
Yeah, I'm not going to count Bolden. You know, that was just like a unique thing that sometimes teams do at a goal line, especially Patriots. But it really confuses things because, you know, we've seen what White does in the postseason. There are a select guys, number of guys that they just show up more in the postseason than the regular season. And White is one of those guys. It really confuses the mix for when you're making DFS picks here about, you know, who to select here. So it makes you want to almost avoid the Patriots backfield, but, you know, especially in DFS, but heck, there's only four teams playing.
I agree. It makes it hard. I think you're just going to have to get lucky, to be honest, if you're using Burkhead and or White. Lewis, I think you can expect a certain number of touches, but you're right, Scott. It confuses things there with a veritable lack of options across the board. Moving over to the other side of things, Corey, really the only thing we saw, the Eagles, no injuries of note, but the Vikings have two injuries. One, Anderson Dejo, the safety who made an incredible interception and then was later laid out by Michael Thomas on a play, has been through concussion protocol. Now, he did practice full on Friday, but as of last night, at least, he had not been cleared for concussion protocol. So they'll have to await that. He's obviously a high caliber safety along with Harrison Smith. Those guys do an excellent job in the Minnesota backfield.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You want to see what the situation is with him. He's a piece of that secondary. Need him out there. So through the protocol, not clear, but did practice. So looks like he's heading in the right direction. So I don't see too much concern about that one right now.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, he's a guy that's going to try to help to limit Zach Ertz, basically where he plays in the field. As we talked to Teron Davenport last week, there's a lot of good options there for Nick Foles between Jeffrey and Aguilar. I think you mentioned three guys with eight touchdowns. So removing Anderson Dejo from the mix would open things up conceivably for Foles.
Yeah, but it's still Nick Foles. You know, Corey was on this way before anybody else was about how Nick Foles is, I hate to say it, he's trash. Yeah, I think they won in spite of him last week, and I think it ends here because which team has a quarterback that's more likely to make a play? I think it's Case Keenum. You know, Andrew, you know, I could put a humorous spin on it and say, look, Zendejo, sit out to the Super Bowl. It's just, you know, Nick Foles. It's still Nick Foles. He's got good receivers, but it's Nick Foles. I don't see this as make me want to use Foles in any way, shape, or form in any sort of DFS or fantasy or have any confidence. I think if either the Eagles or the Jaguars get into the Super Bowl this week, I think they do it in spite of their quarterback. I think we could be looking at, you know, a story where, like, if the Eagles or the Jaguars are winning the Super Bowl, we could say that, okay, maybe compared to Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, this could be the worst team with the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl, or it could just stop like it did when the Bears played the Colts, and nobody knows and remembers anymore that Rex Grossman won the NFC.
Mm-hmm. And Stan Humphries back in 94 for the Chargers.
Yeah, there's a good one. Nobody remembers that.
There's some guy. Well, unfortunately, I'm a Steelers fan. I remember that he beat us and then got annihilated by the 49ers.
I feel bad for you, my friend. You were obviously still like very emotional about last week. It's gushing out of you.
That game, the 94 game, is probably the worst loss that I suffered as a professional sports fan. The Steelers losing the 94 NFC championship game to the Chargers when they were way better than them. They might have gotten beat by the Niners in the Super Bowl anyway, but that was a really rough one. So, sorry, Corey, I cut you off.
I want to touch right quick on Nick Foles. One thing I will give Nick Foles credit for, when they needed a drive to score to go ahead and take the lead, he executed a perfect drive down the field, getting them into the end zone. At some point, one of these quarterbacks, they have to make a play. And Nick Foles had a drive where he made a good amount of plays. That's the drive they got the Eagles to this point. So you do have to give Foles credit for that.
Yeah, and
we'll say that, Scott, though. Keenum won the game for Minnesota, so I'm going to take him over Foles any day of the week.
And just what you were saying about somebody needing to make a play, I would have put my money on Matt Ryan over Nick Foles, and it just didn't happen. So you could put your money on Keenum over Foles, but same thing.
The Eagles are a much better team than Atlanta quarterback notwithstanding overall. It, the way they matched up, I wasn't surprised. I predicted the Eagles were going to win.
Yeah, but, I mean, first and goal. I mean, I thought the Falcons had it.
They had first and goal with Devontae Freeman in the backfield.
We'll come. Yeah. Yeah. Nice shovel pass.
I don't think they knew that. There.
Yeah, you saw that? They did the shovel pass.
Yeah, to the wrong guy. We'll come back. Well, I want to mention Adam Thielen's injury after the break, and then we'll talk some general NFL news on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
This is another show's theme song. I feel like we're robbing it. Or we're just borrowing it. Are we leasing
do,
this?
Please stop.
I'm just waiting for Eric Young to finally give it and join it and be like,
Shout out to the BFFs, though.
Shout out to the BFFs. Greg Sussman.
Video of the Year nomination. Like
Video Show of the Year nomination for the BFFs. So shout out to the BFFs.
Yeah, I saw the category is Video of the Year. Was it a specific video or just a consistently broadcast show? I just didn't quite understand the category title.
I believe it's just consistently broadcast show. And they're nominated for their work with the Best Friends Forever.
That's right. you can hear it here every day at, was it 11 o'clock now?
11 a.m. Eastern time and on the FNTSY YouTube channel.
Yeah, there you go. So that is Greg Sussman, Frank Stanfill, Mike Florio, and Eric Young. So speaking of other shows and what we have going on today, we're here until noon Eastern, and then it's going to be Weekend Fantasy Update. That's Joe Galina, Frank Stanfill, and Mike Florio from 12 to 2. And then from 2 to 4, it is the producers. That is with our very own Pete Considori, Chris Bavona, and Kevin Walsh. After that, Fantasy Gold from 4 to 6. That's Kevin Walsh with Tony Sangatta hosting. Then Old School Fantasy. Corey, that's you with Matt Modica. And I think that's – Scott, is your show then on after that? I don't want to
– Yeah, please don't leave that
alone.
Last week, God.
8 p.m. Eastern, Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour with Gene McCaffrey of Wise Guy Baseball tonight.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to Gene before on air. Very, very knowledgeable baseball guy. So, anyways, so that's it. A lot of
Corey's
great content
Gene McCaffrey
today.
Fan.
I'm a big Gene McCaffrey guy.
Yeah.
I've talked to him a number of times on the air, so great stuff there. Looking forward to that. And I was listening to a couple of your Fantasy Hall of Fame hours. I encourage people
to find
him on Audio Boom and Stefania Bell and Jeff Erickson and a few other people. Matt Fortnow? Is that Fortnow?
Matt Fortnow. Yeah, originalcommissioner.com guy. Yep.
There you go. So I heard a little bit of that yesterday as well. So anyway, we have some polls up, and the first one is the Pats host the Jags as 7.5-point favorites. What's your call? Is it Pats cover, Jags cover but lose, or the Jags win outright? And then we have the Eagles hosting the Vikings as 3-point underdogs, and what's your call? That's the Eagles win outright, the Eagles cover but lose, or the Vikings cover. So feel free to vote for those on Twitter right now, at FNTSY Radio. So we'll continue through the NFL news. The one thing we didn't get to in the injury section was that Adam Thielen is dealing with a little bit of a back issue. It limited him in practice. There's no indication that he's going to sit out or will be limited during the game. But obviously, as these things creep up, it can create concern. It created some concern. We were sitting here a week ago concerned about Antonio Brown's calf injury. He obviously balled out. Same thing could happen with Thielen tomorrow. But it does creep up and possibly concern you if you're a Vikings fan or using him in any kind of format.
Yeah, I look at the situation right here where, listen, a back injury in the AFC Championship game, they got things they can give players to make it feel a little bit better, and then they can give them again at halftime to make it feel even better. So I think Thielen is out there. I think he gets it done. He's going to feel it on Monday morning, though.
Scott, thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a time of year when guys got to play through injuries. You know, this is not week six against Chicago where maybe they'll hold them out. You know, this is for everything. This is for the NFC Championship. You know, you do what it takes to get out here. This is why guys play the game, you know, for an opportunity like this.
Agreed. So, you know, just keep that in mind. I don't know that you can adjust too much. As Scott said in the previous segment, there's only so many players you can use now. So I don't know how you could adjust your DFS lineups or your playoff formats, especially in those one and dones where you were sort of counting on Thielen potentially for this week. I got a good question from a friend of mine that I'll ask you guys a little bit later, too. She's got a
Mike, guys can't always play because they want to. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when people will say, oh, he's going to go out there and play. He's Odell Beckham. You know, he's Antonio Brown. Sometimes your body doesn't let you play. But, you know, from reading the reports on this, these injuries are not to the extent where they're going to keep guys out.
Right. Agreed. So some news on the coaching front, because we have talked a lot about the head coaching, but the coordinator shuffle continues. And we saw two this week. First with Seattle, Scott, I know it's several days ago, but I wanted to get your thoughts because I haven't talked to you about it. With Brian Schottenheimer becoming Seattle's new offensive coordinator, does it excite you? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't understand a lot of these hires. You know, to me, it's around the NFL. People are recycling names that are not successful. Brian Schottenheimer, I think, is getting the shot because, now, for people defending it, and I'm not one of them, certainly, because I've been uninspired by all their assistant coaching hires, they're saying that Schottenheimer didn't have a lot to work with the Jets, et cetera, that, you know, he's done a nice job with Jacoby Brissett. Those are the reasons why maybe he got the job, but I just didn't see him do anything. You know, when he was part of a, you know, the Jets that went to two AFC title games, but, and somebody said online his best player was Thomas Jones, and I take that into account, but I just don't see it as an inspiring hire. Ken Norton Jr. was the linebackers coach when they went to the two Super Bowls, but you look at the performance of the Raiders, and it was terrible. Then they got the offensive line coach from the Giants. So all of these hires, you know, I know where Carroll's coming from. Carroll's not going to change what he does. Okay, he's going to still put out the type of formations and strategies that he will, and he wants guys that'll do it. You know, Pete Carroll is, now I was talking about this earlier this week. Now, you're a Steeler fan, right? Mm-hmm. You know, okay, the Steelers to me are they're the hallmark. They are the greatest franchise in NFL history. No other franchise from the 70s until now has had been a consistent contender, and they just demand a certain standard, okay? To the same degree, lesser, okay, because the Seahawks have never been successful as the Steelers, is the Pete Carroll is not going to stand for not making the playoffs. And if these guys don't get the job done, they're going to be gone.
Maybe
you should
look in the mirror. Maybe Pete Carroll should look in the mirror. And, you know, when you talk about not making the playoffs, that offensive line, Eddie Lacy, so bringing that guy in, thinking he was going to solve the running situation. So maybe Pete Carroll, he's holding himself to a higher standard of accountability. As far as Schottenheimer goes, Scott's right. Recycling these guys. Hopefully Pete Carroll knows what he's doing in this situation. And Russell Wilson. But recycling these guys, these Schottenheimers and Ken Norton Jr.'s and guys like this, I'm not a fan of it. I think it's time to get some new blood into these assistant coaching ranks. You just keep bringing these guys back and back. Nobody's really doing anything innovative.
Yeah, it's like I'm seeing like the Falcons are going to interview Bevel and like Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey, you're gonna have him be a quarterback's coach? What did he do for Cam Newton? Nothing. So I'm totally in agreement with there. You know, maybe this is Carroll too saying too, you know, I need to do something different. He probably admitted himself. I think there's a lot of people at fault there. But like Corey was just saying, like I was saying, you got to stop recycling the same guys. The Jets fired Chad Morton and they're going to promote the quarterback's coach. I don't get it.
Speaking of recycled coaches, Dowell Loggins is going to be the new offensive offensive coordinator in Miami. He obviously has a relationship with Adam Gase. When Gase was the offensive coordinator in Chicago, Loggins was the quarterback's coach. He got promoted to OC in Chicago. Obviously, that coaching staff has been cleaned out. Now he finds himself in Miami, where he's going to be helming the offense under Gase, but with Ryan Tannehill as the, Ryan Tannehill as the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
He did do well with Mariota in the past, but we'll see.
It's going to be interesting. This is a situation where we might see a quarterback in the first round. We heard those rumors come up this week. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill not going to get it done. But see, this is a guy hiring his friend. My friend lost a job. Yeah. Let me go bring him in with me. This is a guy hiring his friend. This is ridiculous.
It's just really Gase cementing his system, right? He could be just the chief play caller, and he's comfortable working with this guy. So you're right to an extent, but I sort of understand it. If everybody's already on the same page, it makes things a little bit smoother for him. I still have no idea, because he's been so – there's been so many changes in Miami, it's difficult for me to tell which direction they're pointed in. They haven't been bad. Since he's been the coach. I mean,
direction.
They made the playoffs once, but they made the playoffs last year. This year, at times, they looked horrible, and they're 6-10, so they drop off from one year to the next. But he's continuing to turn over players and coaches, so it's hard for me to get a read.
6-10 in the AFC East is like 3-13 in the rest of the NFL. So. This Miami Dolphins.
They had two playoff teams this year, though.
Buffalo Bills.
I'll bash the AFC East with the best of them. I mean, they did have two playoff teams this year. Heck, the Steelers are the only one from the AFC North to make it. They're accustomed to having multiple teams in there. The AFC South had two teams, so the two divisions that we get used to bashing both placed two playoff teams this year. So, Scott, any thoughts?
9-7 Bills team.
Yeah. Scott, the last thing I'll mention is Robbie Anderson was obviously arrested second time in a year. He finished as the number 18 wide receiver in a lot of formats this year. So he was a valuable piece. But based on all of these charges and the second time he's been arrested, who knows if the Jets can even keep him around now.
Yeah, there's another thing where a guy is talented, but you know, maybe he needs to grow up, et cetera, you know, in a much lighter version of a Josh Gordon thing. You know what the rules are. You know what you're an NFL player. But a lot of times these guys are younger. And, you know, I'm only speculating here. I don't know anything about Robbie Anderson as a person. So I'm only speculating. But when you look at it from the outside, you know, these guys need to mature. But at the same time, they can always say, well, when they get pulled over, well, do you know who I am? Do you want some jet tickets?
Josh, I mean, Josh Gordon struggled with substance abuse. Robbie Anderson's a knucklehead. He's a hothead. He has a bad temper. We've seen him in situations like this before. That's really what his problem
is. Josh Gordon knew what the rules were, and he broke them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Mike, when we come back, I'm going to talk about the Oakland Raiders, because they knew what the rules were, and they broke it, too.
That was the last thing I was going to get to. We'll come back and talk about the Raiders and the Rooney Rule situation right after this. It's Mike, Corey, and Scott on the Roto Experts. We'll be back after this. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Before the break, we ran out of time. We're going to talk about the John Gruden hiring in Oakland and how the NFL ruled that they complied with the Rooney Rule by having interviewed their tight ends coach Bobby Johnson and USC offensive coordinator T. Martin. It was determined that the team complied with the Rooney Rule. However, it flies in the face of what their owner said in the press conference at the hiring of John Gruden, where he stated that they basically on Christmas Eve had a verbal agreement that Gruden was all in. Those interviews happened after that discussion. but the NFL seems it all washed out in the long run. The Fritz Pollard Alliance doesn't agree with that, and I wanted to get Corey's thoughts on it.
Yeah, first, let me say, we came back from the break to Bone Thugs and Harmony to Crossroads.
Yeah, we did.
Did anybody pass away this morning that we need to meet at the
Robbie Anderson's Jets career, maybe?
Maybe that's what it is. Hey, but listen, this is what I want to say about this. The guy, the owner, sat there at the press conference and more or less told you they didn't do this by the letter of the rule. I understand John Gruden was their guy, and they wanted to go get John Gruden. I understand that. That's interesting hire right there. It's a great hire right there for them. But you broke the rule. If a player breaks the rule, the NFL holds the player to the letter of the law. And if an owner breaks the rule, the NFL always lets it slide. It's gotten to the point where they hold the players more accountable than they hold the ownership, and that's I think that's wrong. That's what's wrong with this. You had a situation with Ezekiel Elliott where everybody said that the man was innocent. Everybody said that. The NFL punishes him. Here you got a situation where the owner is telling you he's guilty, and he walks away scot-free. That's what I don't like.
And the NFL has stated in the past, it's an interesting point, because the NFL has stated in the past that they're going to hold their executives to a higher standard than the players. We've seen them come down on executives, Jim Irsay, and the Broncos executive that got a DUI. He was suspended for a long period of time. So there are situations where they've come down on these executives, but at the same time, the owner admits in the press conference that we didn't really follow the rules. We basically had a guy hired. It's a difficult thing because I agree, Corey, with you in one aspect, but at the same time, if there's some sort of pre-existing relationship and Mark Davis and John Gruden have talked off the record in the past about their personal relationship and they love to work together and the opportunity opens up, you have to halt the hiring process and interview a bunch of people, which are probably phony interviews in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
I understood what you're saying. With that being the case, the rule is put there for a reason, so go ahead and take the punishment. This is my guy. I want to hire him. What's the punishment? What I got to pay you. Yeah. Take the punishment.
Exactly. And we know what's really cool about this? An executive calling out an executive.
Well said. All right, let's get over to the depressing part of the program. We're going to do a Steelers moratorium here. Obviously,
Why we got the crossroads. There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
The Steelers died.
Yeah. Their season ended in brutal fashion. So obviously, really bad loss. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. I expected a win, and if they did lose that game, it wouldn't have happened in the manner that I would have expected them to lose that game. You're talking about the two teams with the most sacks in the league. There were two sacks total. One was an extremely impactful sack with the strip sack fumble return for Telvin Smith to put the Jaguars up 28-7. And while it didn't put the game away, it certainly gave them enough distance to hang on to the lead. So the offense puts up 42 points. Roethlisberger throws for 1 million yards, 5 touchdowns. From an offensive standpoint, they are getting criticism for the 4th-and-1 play calls, not doing QB sneaks, all that kind of stuff. Now, Todd Haley's out. Is it a result of that game? No, because we heard stories before that game that he's probably going to be out. I think he is a guy that has proven, for better or for worse, for his career, that he wears on people. It happened in Kansas City. Before that in Arizona, I can remember arguments on the sidelines with Anquan Boldin during the Super Bowl when he was the coordinator there. And he had a good 6-year run. The Steelers offense has never had a better 6-year run, and he finds himself out. I'm sure he'll get hired somewhere soon because he is a talented offensive coordinator overall. But personality conflicts somewhere along the line brought this to an end, Scott.
Yeah, it did. We heard a lot about it, and that's why they promoted the quarterback's coach to the offensive coordinator, to the offensive coordinator position, because they've, read stories where he was a buffer between Haley and Roethlisberger. Look, like I said, there was the real cornerstone franchises in the NFL, like the Steelers, the Giants, the Broncos, teams like that. And this
Giants
is cornerstone.
And the Broncos.
Oh yeah, look at how many times the Broncos have been, to the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship, deep in the playoffs over their history. The Giants, maybe not this year. Those are the real cornerstone franchises.
Cornerstone franchise.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, there has been franchises, Corey, unfortunately, the Cowboys and the Raiders.
If we're talking about the Super Bowl era, you cannot criticize the Broncos and the Giants.
Neither one of them has been good in 20 years.
They've been to eight Super Bowls. They've been to eight Super Bowls.
Long time ago. Has been franchises.
You're talking about cornerstones, and you mentioned the
New York Giants. They were cornerstones.
And the Denver Broncos.
The New York Giants have won two Super Bowls in the last decade.
Okay, you're right. They have won two Super Bowls in the last
decade. They're always there. I'm talking about teams that consistently win. You know, decade after decade, or in the last two decades, and nobody's better in that regard than the Steelers. And, you know, they demand
results. That is true. The Pittsburgh Steelers deserve that.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are the greatest franchise in NFL history, period.
I agree with you 100%.
So, you continue your point. So, you're saying
yes, Scott.
Consistency.
Yes.
You're saying
Sorry,
you're talking
Romo.
About consistency.
Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, they're tired of, it's been the last 7 years that they've been to the AFC Championship game once and lost. Somebody had to pay for it. So it wasn't about just one game, okay? It wasn't necessarily about one game. That really came to a head.
I mean,
so they obviously, Corey, they don't change head coaches. There's been, since 1976, there's been four Popes. There's been three Steelers head coaches. So. They obviously aren't quick to make a head coaching change.
Same.
But do you? No kidding. Do you think Mike Tomlin is getting way too much leeway here, Corey?
No, I think Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches in the NFL. If anything, I think Mike Tomlin, you know, sometimes the discipline on that team, you see the hits after the play and stuff like that, kind of physical. That's how he coaches them. You look at the situation this year with the national anthem thing. That thing, when it hit the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room real hard. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin brought it together. Jack Del Rio, it hit that locker room real hard, too. He couldn't fix it. It tanked their whole season. Mike Tomlin got it done. Mike Tomlin's excellent. Todd Haley, though, is the most hated man in the NFL. It's going to be hard for Todd Haley to get a job because nobody wants to work with him. His resume is legit, but you have Hall of Famers. If he was to go to Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald would retire. People do not want to work with Todd Haley. It's not like Todd Haley's a young guy where he's going to adapt this new attitude. He's a guy that's going to come in there and keep doing things the way he's doing it. Yes, he has been successful. People do not like working with him. We knew Ben Roethlisberger couldn't stand him. People over the years, we've heard about Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald, Terrell Owens, all of these good people that's in the Hall of Fame don't like working with this man. It's his personality, like you said, Mike, he wears on people, and I think it had came to the time where his run in Pittsburgh was over. And I think the guy who caught him, the quarterback coach, this sounds crazy, but Mr. Sussman told me this week. I think his last name is Fitchner.
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 You sure it's not Fitchner?
Well, it's spelled Fitchner. If they pronounce it Fitchner, that would be a surprise.
And Rex Ryan should hire him.
Yeah. That's where I thought you were going with it. But
Yeah, but
how has Ben Roethlisberger worn out Bruce Arians and Todd Haley? How has he worn those two guys out?
It's Todd Haley. Okay, Roethlisberger could be difficult.
They fired Bruce Arians, and he became a successful head coach.
But you've heard that Ben has not been the easiest to deal with either.
That's my point. That was where I was going with this. He always says he's going to be
two
back.
Two things.
He's going to be back because he didn't want to work with Todd Haley no more.
But two things. Number one, we've seen these coaches get recycled, just like we talked about, and he's got a resume. So I think he's got a shot to get another job.
He's definitely going to get another job.
I think he will, too. But wherever he goes, you're going to start to hear talks about how the players dislike him. That's what I'm saying. People dislike
him.
People dislike Tom Coughlin, too. And, you know, he won two Super Bowls.
Tom Coughlin changed.
A little bit.
Him and Michael Strahan sat down, and they talked about it, and Tom Coughlin changed. He was a different coach. Todd Haley is never going to change.
Yeah.
This is the guy. Didn't he get beat up in a ball a couple of weeks ago? Come on.
I don't think all the details have come out on that. There's some saying he's attacked, but
probably
he's also in a
bar
late at night. Yeah.
Get him!
So that's part of it. That's part of it for me is that Ben – look, I've said it before. He's not a model teammate.
No, he's not.
And I think it is at the heart of a lot of this Bruce Arians and him had a good relationship. Then it started to become a problem, so they got rid of him. Now, the Todd Haley thing, now they got to get rid of him. There's an article earlier this year that I read that he doesn't talk to rookies, really. So Juju Smith is on eggshells around Ben, despite the fact that they obviously work together well on the field. It's just all these things keep coming out. And all of a sudden, Ben is back. Despite torturing everybody for months last year, he's back all of a sudden, right after the game, 5 minutes after the game. Hey, I'm coming back in 2018, no problem. Like, where was this a year ago when everybody's wringing their hands over it? Anyway,
him and Martavis Bryant had the thing, a dust-up in the offseason last year when Martavis was getting ready to come back.
He wanted to get traded.
Yeah, he didn't want to be around Ben. You know, so I get it. Ben is a problem, too, but Ben is the quarterback. See what I'm saying? That's the difference.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah, he's not going anywhere until he wants to, is the bottom line. Well, there's a much bigger topic I wanted to get to. We should probably save it for this, the next segment. And I put a poll up. Do you think Le'Veon Bell will be with the Steelers in 2018? I'm going to get Scott's thoughts and Corey's thoughts after the break. I'm starting to lean that he won't be back in Pittsburgh. So it's Mike, Scott, and Corey on the Roto Experts after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Soul Train line going on here.
Little Earth, Wind, and Fire this morning.
September.
Good stuff. I was just looking back at our predictions from last week. Corey thought the Jags were going to score 7. Scott thought they were going to score 13. I thought they were going to score 10.
I thought there was going to be an intentional grounding in the end zone from Bortles. I get it this week.
Yeah, would have helped. Anyway. It's probably a much larger topic than to fit in this final, in this little mini segment here that we have at the end of the hour number one. But I'm of the opinion the Steelers are very capped out. They're going to conceivably get some room, and I'm not saying this in any way. I'm saying this with the most respect that I can. I don't suspect that Ryan Shazier will be back, so they would receive a bunch of cap room from him having to be released in some way. There are other players that may not be signed, Mike Mitchell and others, as they go in different directions. But to pay Le'Veon Bell the money he wants to be paid is unlikely. And I'm going to start to think if he's threatening a holdout for the year, if they franchise him, that they may move in another direction. Perhaps tag him and trade him. But that's my thoughts. I have never been convinced that once they franchise tagged him last year that they would get a long-term deal done. And now I'm starting to lean more towards that they won't get it done. And I think they're going to move on, potentially draft somebody at the end of the first round or the second round and just do this all over again. Because committing a lot of money to an aging running back, even though he's the best running back in the league, is not always the most prudent thing that you can do. Corey, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a lot of pieces to peel back here, so I agree. I think we got to carry this one into the next segment a little bit, too. But you're talking – this is AFC North football, and you're talking about putting the franchise tag on the best running back in the NFL. If I'm Le'Veon Bell, I don't play either. I'll start right there. But on the same token, Le'Veon Bell has to understand he has the marijuana thing hanging over him. The Steelers they're going to fall back on that and be like, we can't give you this deal because we don't know if we're going to lose you for a season. So it's a little bit of give and take with that. But – you know, it's like I said, it's a lot. But if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I do not plan on the franchise tag this year.
Scott, he's going to be 26 in a couple of weeks, and he touched the ball over 400 times this year, stayed healthy, and they still couldn't get to the AFC Championship game. So quick thought, and we can carry it over into the next segment.
Look, I think a lot of people assume that he's going to be back in Pittsburgh, but I don't think you can assume anything, especially when the Steelers could say, look, like a lot of other NFL teams, we can draft somebody. We already have James Conner here. I think the NFL teams look at running back as maybe the most replaceable position. As good as he is, they might think they'd be, as long as they have Ben and Antonio Brown, they might think that they could win without him.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's going to be 26. So when I said aging, that's probably overstating it. But it also comes into play how many times he's touched the ball. It's 400 this year. It's several hundred the year before. He's putting a lot of miles up there. I do think he's the best running back in the league. I hope he remains a Steeler for my purposes. But at the same time, I just don't know how much money they can put into them when they're capped out already and they're paying Antonio Brown, and Ben still makes a lot of money, and they're going to try and add possibly a defender in the offseason to replace an irreplaceable linebacker in Shazier. By the way, I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl anyway because of Shazier going down. And Scott, I saw you had a tweet during the game last week about how much they missed Shazier. It was painfully obvious during the Pats game at the end of the regular season, and again last week, how much Shazier was missed.
Yeah, that's for sure. It really changed the dynamic of the defense.
Yeah. I mean, they just looked like a middling to average defense last week against Blake Bortles, giving up 45 points. Come back. We'll kick off hour number two on the Roto Experts. Come back after this.